And we all know that things will get tougher before he returns. Mm-hmm. But in the toughness, we shine the brightness, because when darkness rises, we shine more bright than the darkness. Mm-hmm. And what does light do? Well, it dispels darkness. Mm-hmm. So we are children of the light. We are the salt and light of the world. So we're here to make an impact. We're here to have a voice. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be the ones that rise up and say, yes, we are for the Lord because he is for us. You know, when Gideon went down to hear the dream that night, that the Lord instructed him, go down to the Midianites camp, and they listened to him and his friend, Perwar, I can't remember his name exactly now, but Gideon listened and he heard the two guys in the camp talking about the dream that they had had and how they felt that it was to do with Gideon and his father and them coming to root the armies. And at that point, he knew the Lord had said, go for it. So he goes back and rallies the 300. They go down to the Midianite camp and take 100 here, 100 there in three separate positions. And they position themselves and wait for Gideon's order, which was the sounding of the trumpet and the smashing of the pitcher so that the light got revealed. So in three areas, the light got opened up in the midst of the darkness of the night. And the Lord used that to strike fear into the Midianites' camp, put them in confusion and cause them to flee, you know, fighting each other on the way. You know, so there's something about releasing the sign. There's something about stepping up to the mark, even though the numbers, because it said the Midianites were almost like the stars that covered the sky. They were so many, but yet 300 men operating under the word of the Lord and going in and taking faith and doing it and casting light, being light in the darkness, caused a full army to retreat and run for their lives. So that is us in this situation. We've got to learn what it is to stand and to stand firm and to know that our God is on our side. You know, in the midst of stuff that doesn't look like it's going to get better, but we stand because we stand by faith. We don't stand by what we see around us. We stand knowing that God is on the move and that things will shift, things will change because he is in control. Amen. That's my little preach song for this morning.
Very good.
Very good. All right. Very good. We're going to hand over to Sharon. I'm going to move offside here a little bit and let Sharon.
I think that was enough. I think we should just go back to worship.
Yeah. You know, have you thought that because of the restrictions on us, not just in the UK, but across the world, that heaven is worshipping on full power, but we're not allowed to. We're not allowed to join in with the Holy of Holies and sing and worship. You know, so we're calling it those days will shift, change, and that the bride of Christ will get her voice back to be allowed not only just to witness, but to worship before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's his desire, that we worship him, we praise him for who he is. So we're calling in the get back to that days in Jesus' name.
It's good to be with you guys this morning. I've been pondering, I just want to share, when we were in worship, the Lord actually gave me a vision. And it was about Ireland, actually. And I saw the Lord took me over Bangor and drew me back to when we did the conference in Bangor that seemed to be such a failure in so many ways. And the Lord said that I've planted seeds in the ground that are breaking forth even in this day. They're breaking forth. And what I saw, it's like he took me over and I had this bird's eye view of Bangor in the spirit. And I saw the Lord where it was known as the veil of angels, you know, coming up from Bangor right up. But what I saw was the angels that had been operating at that time are being called back. And I saw them beginning to post themselves around Bangor, around gateways in Bangor. And those gateways are the access, exit and entrance roads to Bangor, the main entrance and exit roads to Bangor. And as they began to position themselves, they began to declare and shout an opening of the gateways. And as they began to shout and declare, I saw the gateways that had been like spiritual blockades, I saw them begin to crumble. And I saw these gullies it's the only way I can describe it, these gullies that began to come up through the roadways to the north, the south, the east and the west of Ireland. And they began to fill with this liquid gold fire. And it was coming out of Bangor from seeds that have been sown over the centuries there, the prayer and the worship and the intercession that have been sown in to Ireland from that point. And I saw these gullies begin to just like crack open, like earthquake marks, you know, in the roads. And they were cracking open and they were getting wider and wider. And this liquid gold fire was just coming up through the north, up through the roadways. All the exit and entrance ways were just pouring out this liquid gold fire of God.
Come on.
And I really believe that Ireland is on the brink of something amazing, that the Lord is positioning himself right now. That he's positioning himself. And he's positioning angelic power to release the power of God again on Ireland. And where the prophecies have been about the fires, these fires being ignited all over Ireland, I see these gullies of fire, liquid gold fire, breaking off into veins and tributaries and establishing fires all over the north and the south of Ireland. And I see it coming up across this non-existent border, and I see the fire of God burning across the border. And it's like, I feel the Lord is saying that no matter what decision is made from Europe concerning the rules of Brexit, concerning a hard or no hard border, I feel that the Lord is saying to you, not, no matter what seems to be in place in the natural, that I have put a firewall across the border, and there shall be no division. There shall be no division. There shall be no separation. Because when I come, I'm the God of reconciliation and restoration. And I will come and stand against that which has stood against my nation for centuries. And I am reestablishing my government there. And I'm reestablishing my presence there. And I'm reestablishing my power and my fire in Ireland in this season, says the Lord. These seeds are breaking open. The warriors are in position. And the walls are falling that have stopped the spread of my spirit. And my spirit is going to flow like liquid gold. Mom, and ignite the fires once again, that you will be the people that send people full of the fire of God and the word of God, the spirit of God throughout the nations to light fires in these days, says the Lord. I'm done. Wow. So, well, I wasn't expecting that. Amen. Amen. Lord, we partner with you today. We partner with your ways. We partner with your heart, God, for the nations. We partner, God, with every seed that has been sown, with every seed that you're breathing upon right now, that you're cracking open, God. We breathe upon it, Lord, with you, God. We choose to partner, God, with every word that's been spoken, Lord, that we choose to break agreement with what we see in the natural, Lord, and we choose to ascend, to release over the earth your ways, your thoughts, your will, your strategies, God, your spirit, Lord. And today, Lord, we agree, God, that Ireland will once again burn with the spirit of God. It will burn with holy fire.
Amen.
It will burn with holy fire in Jesus' name. Jesus. In Jesus' name. Woo! Feel the Lord, and now I'm wrecked. I'm wrecked. Woo! So I've been asking God what he wanted to share this morning, and he said, I want you to go back to basics. After that, he wants to go back to basics. I'm like, oh my days. But actually, it's going to, at the end of this message, it's going to come to a place of actually bringing us back to what's just happened, which is quite interesting. God is doing a new thing. There's a new thing happening. It's not new in that in that God's spirit's not new and how he works is not new. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But for us here on the planet, living in time, that has access to eternity, but living in time, we are experiencing something new on the earth. And God wants us to know that he is in charge, that he's never given up, that he's never, you know, got off his throne, that all of this that's happening does not bother him. It does not unnerve him. He is still in charge. So I want you to take notes this morning, because I feel like God wants to just remind us of a certain diamond. And that diamond is called connection with God. When you look at a diamond has many facets. It's got many sides to it. And I want to speak about some of the facets that make up the diamond of connection with the Lord this morning. So many people are saying, I don't know how to connect with God. What does it look like? What are the connection points? And so I'm like, even in our computer, you know, we have USB points that connect the computer, number one, to a power source, yeah, to the power source. And then we have that power source that is connected to many outlets. And God is, you know, God is seated in the heavens. We're seated with him, but also the Holy Spirit is a power source that connects our time to eternity, connects our natural realm to the spiritual realm. So we want to be able to connect with God in a way that that shifts things in the earth, that doesn't just shift things in our lives and make us feel good, but actually we want to be like a USB port that goes out from the power source and connects to something else to release power, eternal power, living power, chain breaking power, love power to the places that we influence, to the realms that we influence, and the places that God has given us influence over. So number one, why do we connect with God? I have notes that I can send out to people, but I want you to take your own notes, because it helps you connect. It helps you, your mind and your spirit, absorb what's happening, yeah, and what's being said. So number one, why connect with God? Well, God comes to us first because he desires relationship. The first connection that we ever experience spiritually is God's connection to us, not our connection with God. You know, in 1 John 4:19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. He first came to us. He first came right into your heart. He came right into your life, whatever situation it was, and he broke in. He had a key to your heart, and he began to unlock that heart and began to pour into you the spirit of revelation concerning who he was, the truth of who he is, and his love for you. So number one, God comes to us first, that this isn't about us, this is about God's connection. This is about God's immense, powerful love for you and for me. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I believe that today, right today, for every believer and non-believer, God is still at our door and he is still knocking. And I know, like for me, and I know for you, that there are times when this little voice comes into your mind and you're like, I need to spend time with the Lord. I need to go read. I need to set aside time. That is not you. That is the Holy Spirit. That is God again pursuing you. He's saying, I want to love you right now. I want you to love me right now. I want connection. I want connection. So even now, the Lord is saying to you, I'm standing at your door and I'm knocking. I'm knocking. And then he says, if anyone hears my voice. So he comes to us in two ways. Number one, he knocks. So there's a sound around us. There's something happens around us that brings us into a place where we stop momentarily and we are aware that God wants connection. And then he speaks, it says, if anyone hears my voice. So he speaks, and that's when you hear that little voice, that little still voice saying to you, oh, I haven't had a quiet time today, or I haven't read my Bible today, or I haven't prayed today. I need to spend time with Jesus. That is the voice of the Lord at the door of your spirit saying, hey, I'm here. I want to come and eat with you. I want to come and feast with you. And, you know, that means that not only does he want to give you something, but he wants something from you. He wants to feast with you. He wants to feast on your love for him. He wants to hear your day, what your day expectations are, what your dreams are, what your desires are. And he wants you to hear how he wants to love you and how he wants to give you strategy to take you forward. Number point three, scripture, Song of Songs 4:9 says, you have stolen my heart. You've stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. You have stolen my heart with one glance of your eye, with one jewel of your necklace. You know, when we pay attention to that knocking, when we pay attention to that voice, the word of God says, with one glance of our eye, as we turn our affection toward him, that moment, it steals his heart away. It captivates him. He is overcome with passion and love, and he comes right in to that place. So point one was, God comes to us first because he desires relationship. He's knocking, he's speaking, he's waiting for your glance, and he's just longing for that time with you where we can connect. Next point, how do we communicate with God? This is the big one. How do we get there? Some call it prayer, but prayer has many facets to it. Our lives with God have so many. He's so like diverse. He's given us so many ways, not just to bless us, but how to communicate with him. So let's look at some of those ways. Number one, the closet. Matthew 6:6 says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees in the secret place will reward you. Go into your room, close the door. And I want to encourage you today to create a sacred space where you can meet with Jesus. Create a place that is sacred for you and him, a place that's familiar, a place where you can build relationship with him, a place that you can step into where it's almost like instantly you just connect, you know. Let it be a place that's quiet, that's comfortable, a place that's undisturbed, and make it yours. You know, if you're a person who loves candles and soft light and cushions and having your notebook and your Bible and your worship, then do that. If you're a person that just wants to sit with your Bible and talk to the Lord, begin to do that, but create a space where you can go in and close the door, a place where it's just you and the Lord together. So that's your closet. Next one is waiting, sensing, and meditation. Waiting, sensing, and meditation. Psalm 4:4 says, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Meditate. What does meditate look like? Meditate means to sit and ponder. To sit and ponder. So things like the scripture in Isaiah, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So if you take that and you say, Lord, I'm just going to come and I'm going to wait on you. And God, I believe in the waiting, you were going to renew me. Or actually, even a better one is, Lord, I will praise you. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise him. for he is my rock and my fortress, my strong deliverer. So like when you begin to meditate on the rock, what it means for God to be your rock, that he's steadfast, he's immovable, he's impermeable. He's there for you, that no matter what, you can hang on to him. No matter what storms come, you can hang on to that and it's not going to move. It's not going to shift. He is like your ground zero, that rock, you know, your fortress. That is a place that when the enemy comes, that you are safe and you're hidden in that place. And begin to meditate on what this means for you, for God to be your fortress. So meditation is one way of really strengthening your relationship with God in the quiet place of waiting. And then wait and just sense in that same place, wait and sense and say, God, what are you saying to me in this? What are you saying to me? What do you want to hear? What do you want me to hear from you today? Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Not just be still, but actually to know. And that knowing is that assurance. It's an immovable thing. Be still and know that no matter what goes on around you, that no matter what you're facing, no matter what looks like in the nations or the nations of the world, that actually that I am God. I am God. I am in control. I am in charge. I am sovereign. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the faithful, steadfast one. And I am immovable. Isaiah 40:29-31. Those who wait on the Lord, or those who be still, those who wait on the Lord and be still, will renew their strength. Like there's a promise, you know, when we feel tired, when we feel weary, when I was nursing my mom, I had to take time to be still, or I would not have had the strength to do what I needed to do. And I feel like in these days, it's like even in COVID, people are so busy. They're so busy. And it's like, you know, our busyness has just taken a different direction. And the Lord says to us, actually, if you want to be strong and you want to run this race and you want to run it with freshness and energy and power and health, you need to learn how to wait on me. You need to learn how to rest in me. And then the promises that you will renew your strength, that you will soar on wings as eagles. Like if you've seen an eagle soar, it's effortless. It's effortless. They just point their face to the sun. Hello. Point their face to the sun and just rise up and let him take you to those places of strength. It says they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You know, we are supernatural people first. We were born of flesh. But now we're born of the Spirit. We are spirit beings and we need to learn to rest in God and let our spirit man be strengthened so that we can spiritually soar, so that we can spiritually run, so that we have spiritual insight in so that we can function in a powerful way in the natural, because we're not shifted by the media. We're not shifted by what we see in the natural. We're held fast by being in the presence of God and being strengthened in the inner man to see and to understand and to have the discernment of what God is doing in these days. So one was your closet. Two is waiting, sensing, and meditation. Number three, praise and thanksgiving and blessing is the next way we want to connect with the Lord. Praise, thanksgiving, and blessing. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with what? With thanksgiving. Enter his gates. So the very first entry point into connection is thanksgiving. So you want to come before the throne of God. There's the gates there. And he's saying, you want to come in those gates. I want you to begin to thank me. Thank me for everything around you. Thank me for your weather. Thank me for your home. Thank me for your children. Thank me for your life, for your health. Begin to declare thankfulness to the Lord. And then he says, and into his courts. The courts are the place where we bring our petitions, where we bring our prayers, our petitions. You know, like, Lord, this is going on. We need you to act. So when we enter into his courts with what? With praise. So we can come firstly with our thanksgiving and the next with our praise and praise the Lord for who he is. Like, pick some of his names: provider, healer, redeemer, father, counselor, truth, wisdom. Pick some of those names, joy, and begin to praise him as you come into his courts. Acknowledge who he is. It's like Queen Elizabeth. If we went in, you want to honor her position. You honor her. When you go into her council, you would honor her position, her sovereignty in the land as God has appointed her. And so when we come into the courts of heaven, we want to honor the King of Kings in a much better way of who he is, his name, his character, his authority, his power. And then it says, be thankful to him and bless his name. So praise, thanksgiving, and blessing. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. What are the benefits of praising God? It says here, he forgives all your sins. Come on, come on. Your sins are forgiven. Like, we all see each other, how we put out ourselves to be, don't we? But we all know. We know what we're like inside. We know those little things that we still struggle with, or those character traits that we struggle with, or those offenses that we struggle with that we need to hand over. We know that we struggle with our flesh, man. We know that. And yet it says here, when we praise him from our soul, which is our emotions, our being, he forgives our sins. Come on. Every little thing, God has forgiveness. Heals all your diseases. That's the promise. I think sometimes we give up on that so easily, you know, and yet we need to press in for that through praise, through thanksgiving, through coming into the courts and bringing our need for healing, our petition for healing, into his courts. He redeems our life from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion. Can you, like when I was doing this, God gave me this picture of him putting this crown on my head. And this crown just was like this whirlwind that circled around my head, this beautiful wind. And it was love and compassion. It was love and compassion. And as I worshipped him, it came down like this mantle all over me. And he said, you know, as you worship me, as you praise me, as you're thankful to me, I'm just covering you with a crown of love and compassion to empower you to transform the lives of others around you and to love the unlovable. And then it says, he satisfies your desires with good things. Come on. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Who wants their youth renewed like the eagle? Yeah, I do. Come on. I want my youth renewed like the eagle. It's going to be awesome. Day by day, I'm going to get younger instead of older. Woo! 1 Chronicles 16:34, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Just because he is good. Just because he's good. Just there's no other reason that we need to give thanks to him, but just because he is good, just because he's good. Our next connection with God is singing. He loves us singing to him. Do you know that God sings over you? He sings over you. Like, the first time I heard that, I was like, no, he doesn't. And then I checked it out and I'm like, gosh, he does. He sings over us. He sings over me. Songs of redemption, songs of love. And so he sings over us. And so he sets the template, doesn't he, for us. And he said, I'm pursuing you, so I want you to pursue me. I'm thankful for you. I want you to be thankful for me. I come to you in the quiet place, so I want you to come and wait with me. I'm singing over you, so I want you to sing to me. I want you to sing to me. 1 Chronicles 16:9 says, sing to him. What do we sing? Tell of his wonderful acts. So if you don't know how to sing to the Lord outside of like written songs, write down some things that God has done in your life and begin to sing it to him. Sing to him for his wonderful acts in your life. And then that was in Chronicles. And then David reiterated that in Psalm 105. Sing to him. Tell of his wonderful acts. The Psalms are full of it, aren't they? Sing unto the Lord. Psalm 146, verse 2. While I have breath, God, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. This is the only time that we get to choose to sing to the Lord. You know, we got to overcome this thing. We got to overcome every time we sing to Jesus, we overcome the flesh man. Every time we sing to him, we bring the flesh man into obedience with the spirit. So let us sing unto the Lord, tell of his wonderful acts. Pick that scripture of Isaiah or Psalm 103, praise the Lord, O my soul. Sing the Psalms to him. Sing them to him. They were written to sing to him. They were written for him. So we have the closet. We have waiting, sensing, and meditation. We have praise, thanksgiving, and blessing. We have singing. What's the next way we connect with God? Well, it's fasting. I know. Da, 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 da. People don't want to hear about fasting. You know, Matthew 6, 17 to 18 says, when you fast, not if you feel like it, or maybe someday, it says when you fast, it's expected that we would fast before the Lord. When you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father in heaven who is unseen. Why? Because your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Personal experience of fasting. Do I like it? No, I hate it. I hate it. I love, if I'm not fasting, I don't think about food really. As soon as I say tomorrow I'm going to fast, I dream about breakfast. You know, I dream about eggs on toast and porridge and coffee, and I dream about it literally. And I wake up in the morning and all that's on my mind is, I can't have breakfast. So I know that there's a battle in the spirit. There's a battle of the flesh. There's this war that goes on within us to what we know we should do and what we want to do. And for me, I always find that a season of fasting, whether it's one meal a day or two meals a day or a day or a prolonged period, that's a personal thing between you and the Lord. But whatever how you fast, it's not about changing God's heart or God's mind. It's about positioning us. It's about positioning our heart. It gives us a time out with God that we wouldn't normally have. It gives it brings our flesh man into obedience. It brings our flesh man into submission to the spirit within us. And we have both found that when we begin to fast, that the spirit of revelation is heightened within us, that our understanding of the word, that our understanding of the atmospheres around us and what God is doing around us, what he's saying, is so sharpened. It's like your spiritual eyes of discernment are sharpened, your vision is sharpened, your hearing is sharpened. Is it comfortable? No, it's not. But you know, it is a positioning of ourselves in the presence. It's a humbling of ourselves before the Lord to connect with him in a deeper way. So that's fasting. Next one is praying. Bible says, Ephesians 6:18, pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And this is what he said, Luke 11:1-4, when you pray. Again, it's not a if and maybe, it's a when. When, same as fasting, when you pray, it says, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There's such a global prayer in that. It's personal, right out to global. It deals with us personally, and it deals with the nations. You know, Father in heaven, there's that acknowledgement again as you enter into his presence, into his courts, to petition him. There's that, we acknowledge you as Father, we acknowledge you as sovereign. We say, God, that you're hallowed. We say that you're blessed, that you're holy. And then it says, you know, your kingdom come, Lord, we are calling in your kingdom. We're calling in the establishment of your rule on earth in our day. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then give us this day our daily bread. Lord, this is what we need today from you. Whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whether it's material, Lord, this is what we need from you today, personal again. So firstly, Father in heaven, your name is hallowed. Your kingdom come right now. Your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, and then forgive us our sin. Forgive us our sin. Again, it's a personal connection with God concerning our own state before him, that one-to-one state. And then the challenge to us, forgive those who have sinned against us. Forgive those, an opportunity to make right any unforgiveness that we hold or offenses that we hold toward other brothers and sisters. Protection, lead us not into temptation. Lord, protect us. Be gentle with us. Have mercy on us, because you know that we are dust, you know, and deliver us from the evil one. Prayer has such, you know, the format of the prayer of Christ is such a powerful format in our lives to follow. So praying continuously in the Spirit for the things of God's heart, the challenge of our own personal walk with God. The next one is giving. How do we connect with God through giving? You know, the 10% thing started way back in Genesis. And it's always an itch with people when you start talking about the giving or the fasting, the things that cost people something, you know, it kind of itches where they scratch, really. And it challenges the heart, you know. I think the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart is. So it's like this itch that gets irritated, or the plaster gets taken off. So giving started way back in Genesis 14, when Abraham gave a 10% of all that he had to the high priest Melchizedek. The high priest was the priest of God Most High in scripture. I'm not going to go into the whole Melchizedek. I haven't got time this morning. But as a result of Abraham doing that, God blessed him abundantly, absolutely abundantly, poured out blessing on him. And then later on, it was made law in Israel that 10%, you know, the first of your flock, the first of your sons, was all given unto the Lord, so that they could live in the same blessing as Abraham. So they could live in that same blessing. It was transferred down through the generations, that same blessing. And in the New Testament, we don't give out of a written law, but we give out of a law of love. We give out of a law of love and kingdom. We give to show our love and to affirm our sonship. The tithe is an expression of heartfelt worship by grateful sons and daughters. The blessing of the tithe then come upon us just as it did for those under the old covenant. So in Malachi 3:10-12, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Come on. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe. There is such a connection between our closet experience with the Lord, our praising the Lord, our thanksgiving with God, our meditation on the word of God, our singing to the Lord of our love songs to him and thankfulness, our bringing our flesh man into obedience through fasting, and then challenging the very core of our being through what we own, what we have given to us through finance. This is like where God begins to dig deep, but he digs deep because he wants to pour out such a blessing that we cannot contain it. The kingdom can you know, like if I have £10, I can do £10 of outreach. I can feed people with £10 worth of food. If I have £1,000, I can do £1,000 worth of kingdom. I can feed people, clothe people. We can meet the needs of the poor. And in the New Testament, they gave so that no one had need. Some of them sold property. You know, some of them gave like so much, whether it was a holiday home or their own home, I don't know. But I know that they gave and no one had need. And I look around us today and there's so many that have needs that, you know, the church established the homeless missions. The church established the nursing sector. The church has established, you know, gone out and establishing schools and colleges and hospitals in the nations of the world. How did they do that? They did that through the giving of their people into the kingdom. They came together and gave. And I'm like, I want to be a person that when I get to heaven, God will say to me, when you give, this is what we did with this. This is the fruit of your giving. This is the fruit of your fasting. This is the fruit of your singing. This is the fruit of your time with me. So some of the promised blessings of giving, he will open the heavens over your life. Some of you wonder why the heavens are closed over your life and you don't hear from God. Well, maybe this is where you need to challenge your soul right here, right in what you give unto the Lord, whether it's, you know, your time, your talents, your finance. What is it that God is challenging you right now to give unto him so that you can have the heavens opened over your life? It says he will pour out such a blessing you won't have room to contain it. You won't have room to contain it. We're going to like need bigger barns, you know. When we give unto the Lord, like fully our heart, our soul, the closet, the singing, the praise, the meditation, the fasting, the giving of our finance, oh my gosh, what would he not give to us that we need? What would he not give to us in blessing? I'm not saying that we're not going to be persecuted. I think it's coming rapidly against the church, but I believe in that place of persecution, we are going to be a blessed people. We're going to be a blessed people. The glory of the Lord is upon his people. And when we give unto him, like it says, you know, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. We have nothing to lose. We have nothing to lose. Like we could give everything away and God will bring it back. When we gave up our home in Ireland to come back here, it was hard. We'd worked hard for that house. You know, it was beautiful. We had 5 bedrooms and 2 acres of land and a fish pond. And it was beautiful to bring people to. And we could do meetings there. And, oh, it was so good. And the Lord said, give it up. I'm calling you back out. And I'm like, yeah. Well, why do we have to give up our house? I want you to give it up. I want you to give it up. I've got plans and purposes for you. And this place doesn't include, it's not included. And we had to give up our furniture. Oh my gosh, was it hard? Things that I didn't want to let go of. But God said, I'm just calling you right now to lay it all down before me. You can't step out of the boat with all this stuff. It's going to sink you. I want to show you that I'm the God of provision. I want to show you that I'm good to you. And the things that you have right now are not what's needed for the next season. And so we did. And here we are in this lovely little place. And God has made provision for us all through the journey. All through the journey. His faithfulness it's matchless. It's matchless, you know. But I believe in these days of when the enemy thinks that he's crushing in, actually the Lord is putting pressure on his church to arise. The Lord is putting pressure on his church to arise, and he's saying, come on, you're made to shine. You're made to rise above this. I want you to be the light. Let the light that's in you shine into the world to dispel darkness, to break the chains off captives, to set prisoners free, to heal those that are lame and open the ears of the deaf and the eyes of the blind. You know, when we hold on to us, God can't get in there. We need to kind of give it all up to him. I'm not telling you to sell your house, all that. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying what it cost us to do. What you do with your money affects your connection with God and how blessing is released over your life. It definitely does. The challenge of tithing uncovers who or what has captured your heart. Let me say that again. The challenge of tithing uncovers who or what has captured your heart. Luke 12:34 says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. There your heart is also. So like for me, a 10% is the minimum line. It's a minimum line. To me, that's your base level, like your base level of what we should give to the Lord. Can I afford it? I can't not afford it. I can't not afford it. I can't not afford to give to the Lord first. He says, bring me the first fruits. If I don't bring him the first fruits, I'm walking in disobedience to him. Bring me the first fruits. Let me be first in your life. I want to be that priority. I want my kingdom to grow, and I want you to sow into it a blessing from how I bless you, so that I can bless you more. So that I can bless you more. If our hearts belong to the Lord, even in hard and difficult times, we should give to him first. We should give to him first, the first and the best of what we have. Not the scraps. He doesn't need it, but he's doing it so he can bless us. So he can bless us. He gives you his life, you give him yours. That's the divine exchange. All that he is becomes yours, and all that you are and have becomes his. All that you are and have becomes his. Tithing declares that Jesus is alive. It declares to the world today. The world doesn't understand why people give into a church. They don't understand that people that don't know Jesus have no idea why we do this, you know. But tithing uncovers the heart. It uncovers our heart, and it demonstrates that Jesus is alive. It shows that we really, truly believe that God is alive, because we're not given to somebody that's dead. We're given to a living, living Savior, a living God. Through the tide of your time and finance, I believe, personally, biblically, that you create a realm of open heaven, a realm of victory, a realm of increase and kingdom increase over your life. I believe that through all that we've just spoken, that you open up a different realm of your life when you surrender those things that really uncover your heart, those things that you struggle with. When you are obedient to the word and you're obedient to the Lord, it creates a realm of open heaven over you. That's the promise of Malachi. You know, there's a blessing there waiting for you. Coming to an end soon. Next one is the word. Proverbs 35, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those around him. So every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those around him, a shield to those who take refuge in him. So I believe every written word, every spoken word of the Lord forms a protection around us. It is our house. It's where we live. It's where we dwell in the word. And not only that, but the word in John 1, the word was made flesh, and that word, the word was God, the word was with God, and the word was made flesh, and he came to live and to abide in us. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. A lamp for my feet. When you can't see the distance, when you can't see what's happening ahead, and sometimes God hides things from us, when you can't see the way ahead, the word is still the lamp for your feet. It's still that direction for where you are right now. It is your place of security. It's your place of the rock, the foundation of where you still stand. Even though I cannot see, Lord, I still choose that where I am right now is where you have positioned me, because that's all you're shining on right now. It's all I can see. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Verse 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you know, in John 14, verse 20, it says, and then you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So that very word that is God, was God, became flesh, lives in the Father, and he lives in us. and we are in him. So the word is so important, the written word, that we need to understand and learn and meditate on that word. But we also need to understand that the living word lives within us and indwells us, not only in us, but he lives in the Father, which means that Christ is in the Father is in Christ, and they're in us. Our nature is this amazing divine nature, amazing, powerful, divine nature that we carry. The powerful power of God lives within us. There's no deeper intimacy than God made flesh. There's no deeper intimacy than God made flesh living inside of you by his Holy Spirit. He could just have sent more prophets. He could just have stayed around and done one-to-ones or conferences like he did, but he didn't. He went and he sent his Spirit so that he could be that indwelling, divine, powerful nature, powerful living force within our lives. My gosh, doesn't that make us like truly supernatural? Truly, truly supernatural and truly loved of God, that he trusts us with his presence in such an intimate way. Oh my gosh. We get to see things like Bangor coming on fire. Come on, people. Wakey, wakey. Come on. So let's summarize. God comes to us first because why? Because he loves us and he wants relationship with us. How do we communicate with God? We communicate through the closet, spending time, that quiet place, that sacred space, waiting, sensing, and meditating, waiting for him, feeling him, taking time to wait until he comes. Like, I'm just waiting for you, Lord, and I'm going to meditate on you. I'm going to meditate on who you are and your beautiful nature, your beautiful character, your beautiful counsel right now. Praise, thanksgiving, and blessing. To connect to him in through those gates through praise, into his courts through thanking him for who he is and the respectful acknowledgement of his sovereignty and his power, and then expecting the blessing as he works on our behalf when we bring those petitions before him. Singing, he sings over us and he wants that divine exchange, that symphony, that harmony of us singing back and worshiping him. Fasting, bringing our flesh man into obedience with our spirit, calling them to become one in his presence, humbled before him in expectation. Prayer, you know, that supplication all the time, whether it's in tongues and in English and just in singing, all those ways that we pray and communicate, talking to God about the things of our heart, the things that concern us, the things that we're petitioning for, the things we're waiting for, and just that talking to him about how we love him and how we honor him and we expect more of him, we want more of him. Our giving that uncovers our heart before the Lord, where we can expect this blessing so that we can give more, so that we can bless more. I want to be known as a really generous person. Ask me. I want to be known as I want to be known as one who loves Jesus and would give everything for him. That's me. That's who I am. And the last one is the word. The word become flesh and what? Dwells in us. Come on. That's like the ultimate connection. There's no greater connection than that. It's like freaking amazing, you know? It's like, oh man, blows your brain. But all this is summed up in one word. Connection is summed up in one word, which is faith. Faith and believing in the word of God. Everything that we speak of is in here. Faith is actioning what is in this word. Faith is taking it and eating it and delivering it to your soul and bringing it to your flesh man and connecting it with God's spirit. When we connect with God, we ascend. I just want to read you scripture here from Proverbs 21. Starting at verse 20. In wisdom's house, you'll find, this is the Passion Translation. In wisdom's house, you'll find delightful treasures, and the oil of the Holy Spirit. In wisdom's house, you'll find delightful treasures and the oil of the Holy Spirit. But the stupid squander what they have been given. The stupid squander what they've been given. Go away, Andy. So it's like when we enter into the house of wisdom, we enter into the house, into that place of the Holy Spirit, we receive the oil of the Spirit. And the oil of the Spirit's for healing and joy and restoration and all those things. They said that the stupid squander that. The stupid squander it. They don't appreciate it. They don't use it wisely. Verse 21, the lovers of God who chase after righteousness. Listen to this. The lovers of God who chase after righteousness will find all their dreams come true. An abundant life drenched with favor. Come on. And a fountain that overflows with satisfaction. Verse 23, a warrior. We're warriors, yeah? We're filled with the presence of God, the power of God. We are warriors in the kingdom to overcome. Ephesians 6, we are clothed in the armor of the Lord. A warrior, this is you, you listening? A warrior filled with wisdom, what, ascends to the high places. Woo! A warrior filled with wisdom ascends to the high places. And where do we find wisdom? In wisdom's house, in where? The place of the Holy Spirit. The place of the Spirit in the oil of the joy of the Spirit. So a warrior filled with wisdom ascends into the high place. What for? Why? And releases regional breakthrough. Releases regional breakthrough. What region are you in that needs breakthrough? Come on. This is regional. This isn't just your house. You know, this is like the realms over you, the spiritual realms of darkness that try to permeate where you live. The Bible tells me a warrior filled with wisdom ascends into the high place and releases regional breakthrough. That is who you are. And how do we get there? Through connection, through all those different facets of connection with God. He takes us to the place of wisdom's house, and he then brings us to ascend into the high places to bring regional breakthrough. Bringing down the strongholds of the mighty. Bringing down the strongholds, Shakunde, of the mighty. Sharat Akiyandarabasu. Oh, come on, come on. This is who you are, people. I don't even know what else to say. It just fires me up so much. It makes me want to like get into my closet and go praise and worship and bless and fast and say, God, you can have everything because I want to ascend the heavens with you. And I want to see breakthrough over my city. I want to see breakthrough in my nation. I want to see breakthrough in the United Kingdom and in Ireland. I want to see breakthrough for America. I want to see breakthrough over Israel. I want to see breakthrough, God. I want to see your kingdom come, because that's what breakthrough is. It's God's kingdom coming to earth. And we do it by ascending. And how do we ascend? Through connection. So That's all I got to say this morning. It's like my heart is so full of trying to encourage you of the validity of all these different facets of the diamond of connecting with God. And they're all so important. They're all so important. Why? Because you're a warrior. Why? Because God wants to take you full of the oil of the Spirit to ascend into the high places, to bring breakthrough in your region, to bring down the strongholds of the enemy. That's who you are, guys. You're powerful. You're powerful. There's so much power waiting for you, living in you, in that divine nature of God, the Word made flesh. So, Lord, I just declare today your presence over these ones, God, as they connect with you, Jesus, as they connect with you. Lord, I thank you that they are warriors, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they have access to the oil of the Holy Spirit, that they have access to wisdom's house, Lord. Lord, that they are wise before you. Lord, I thank you, God, that you have called them to ascend into the high places, God. You have called them, God, to receive what they need there, to come right into your courts, God, in the high places. Lord, to release regional breakthrough over where they live, over the powers of influence that you've given them, Father, or for their region, God, that they have the power of breakthrough for their region to see, God, the strongholds of the mighty brought down. So, Lord, I declare today connection, 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 for the purpose of ascension, for the reason of breakthrough, for the power of the strongholds being put down and brought down, those of the mighty being brought to nothing. In the name of Jesus, that your kingdom would come, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.